Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. Be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
And thank you once again for coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the growing part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. And, of course, callers and chat participation are welcome. So come speak with the host, guests, and other audience members, and also check out the Bard's Logic Political Talk website by going to www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com, and we've got some good information, some links on there, as well as our give page, in which we have some wonderful charities for people to check out and consider to give to as well, and we'll talk about that more so this evening. But tonight, we'll be discussing America's Place in an ever-increasing anti-American world, the debt ceiling debate, and, of course, its upcoming deadline, and we'll have updates on the show. Joining us tonight with the host will be James Naber, the founder of Overpasses for Obama's Impeachment, and, of course, our dear friend and conservative activist Cindy Todd will be coming on. But first, we will have our special guests, who is Bernardo Vasilis and Juan of Shepherd Team. Shepherd Team is a cartoon for the people by We the People. Shepherd Team is an independent cartoon comic about three superhero brothers and a family of eight that fight the good fight when tyranny arises while trying to make it through in today's America as normal kids. Shepherd Team's comic looks to entertain the audience with good humor and that the people don't see anymore from the current biased mainstream entertainment industry, while never turning its back on the great values of America. Their mission statement is to provide the best cartoon entertainment concept throughout the world that promotes pro-Americanism. Bernardo is an everyday American who holds four jobs, plus running Shepherd Team, with his brother Orlando. Juan holds two jobs in sales and education, yet he finds time on his busy schedule to draw all the art of Shepherd Team. And Juan also holds a Bachelor's of Arts degree in political science, which is actually what degree I have as well. This is from FAU. And so we will open up the show with someone from the Reno, Nevada Overpasses for Obama's Impeachment, where she's got a few comments that she'll make before we have our special guests on. And the reason I have her on first, I think her comment that she recently gave to me is a great opening for the show, and especially what we're going to be talking about with these guys from the Shepherd Team. So, PJ, thank you very much for coming on the show. And then we'll make the comments, and then I will bring on the Shepherd Team. Go ahead, PJ.
Very good. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm happy to finally get on a show where my fearless leader, James Naber's, is, working in Nevada and having the state that, represents Harry Reid, it's really difficult. And, being out there every other weekend trying to talk to people and to reason with them about the direction of our country can be very difficult, because not only is the world looking at us with very anti-American views, our own Americans are looking at America and other Americans with anti-American views. So when we're out there trying to garner attention to wake people up to where this country is going, there's a lot of haters out there. And there are a lot of people who don't respect our country, who trample on our flag, who say terrible things. Now they don't want to do the Pledge of Allegiance in schools. And so why wouldn't the world look at us with anti-American views if they see that our own people that live here, that are fortunate to live here, don't respect our country? And, you know, Americans need to wake up and get out of their apathy. Right now, what we find when we're out there trying to promote people to come to the realization that we have a terrible administration, you know, we find either very apathetic people, very angry anti-American people, and quite honestly, for a lot of us that are out there rallying, giving up our time, we take a lot of abuse.
Yes, it is a shame, because what you guys are really doing is not just for, you know, Republican, Democrat, liberal, or conservative. What you guys are really fighting for is something that affects all Americans, regardless of party or ideological leanings.
Exactly. And if I can just add just one quick little comment, you know, there's been some comments out there. Why are you out there with impeachment signs? You know, impeachment is impossible. Well, we know that pretty much because of the Senate. However, we are creating a network of American patriots throughout the United States, state by state, who are connecting with each other who would never, ever have an opportunity to meet. And by doing this, we are amassing a huge database of conservative Americans who want to make changes. So this is a way for us to get out there. This is a way for us to get people to look at us. And through that, we will have other ways to reach out, whether it's through, you know, politics, through bargaining, through polling, through getting people to vote. So this is a means to an end, I believe.
Well, definitely. Thank you very much for your comments. And I believe James will, as I said, be coming in later on this evening. I was just chatting with him, or texting, rather, a little bit ago. So we'll be having him on later on. So you're welcome to come back and talk with him after we have our interview here. And we'll talk more about the debt ceiling. We'll go over the events and the debate. And we'll move on from there. But at this time, with no further ado, for those who are trying to promote pro-Americanism throughout the United States and the world, and that would be those from SHPO team, and I welcome, and audience welcome as well, Bernardo and Juan. Thank you very much for coming on to the show. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. We are good tonight. How are you?
We are great. We are great. So it's very nice having you guys onto the show, and we'll go ahead and start off with the questions here. And, of course, first, and I think part of what PJ just said may be a part of this answer, but, of course, we'll leave that up to you. So what was the impetus for you gentlemen starting up the comic?
Well, we like what she said about promoting Americanism. There is nowadays there is a lot of anti-American people. Even our own American citizens are becoming more and more anti-American. They value nowadays more socialist views, more big government, like what Obama is trying to do right now. And I actually like that this that the conservative activists go and protest this tyranny that's going on with this growth of government that is right now. And how she said that they get vicious attacks from the left, that's true. I mean, just look at Ted Cruz. Everywhere you go on the liberal media, they attack Ted Cruz because he's the only one besides a few others that have stood up to the tyranny that Obama and the Democrats has imposed on us.
Okay, and whoever wants to chime in, whether it's yourself, Bernardo, or Juan, just go ahead, and if each one of you have a comment, as well on that, that's fine. We'll just just chime in, whoever wants to answer the particular question, or if both want to, that's fine. Now, one thing people may notice, if there's a little pause there, is as I'm multitasking, like sometimes I'll be doing a post, or I'll be doing a chat with someone on Facebook or here on the show. And also for those listening who came to the link, there was a little typo tonight on the promo in which the call-in number was not that on the promo. It's actually 347-945-7428 for those who would like to chime in. So we'll let you folks know, and we'll continue on. And I believe I do have James here on the line. James, is that you?
It is. How are you doing tonight?
Great, great. We've got some gentlemen here that we're going to talk with tonight, Bernardo and Juan from Sheppo Team. Welcome them in, and we'll continue on with their questions.
Okay, I'll be listening.
Okay. And,
you have questions for us?
Yes, we do. We've got some. Well, he can have some later, and I will be opening up questions from the audience, later on in the program. That's at 347-945-7428. And to go on is, I did read your comics. Went to it and found it online, and I believe that's ShepoTeam.com. And
yeah.
I think it's funny, it's pithy, and it's on target. And there are a series of, subjects that you guys cover. One of them is you make comments on the conflicts in the Middle East. Could you tell us more about your thoughts on this issue?
Well, in my opinion, I'm Bernardo, by the way. In my opinion, in the Middle East, this is a big mess over there. First thing that comes to mind, Israel is America's biggest ally. Israel is a great country that has flourished and has become strong against big odds over there. Most of the Middle Eastern countries don't share our American views or Israel views. The civil society that we as Americans have about good society, they don't share it. When you live in countries like Iran or Syria, where they cut people's hands and stone women to death and imprison Christians, it's a big mess over there. And America, for me, America shouldn't be involved on democracy projects in such countries that are radical. For me, they should only vote to protect Israel at all costs.
Okay, that's a threat.
Derek is such a nice guy on the show that makes even make.
Yes.
It looks like we had some background there. go ahead, Bob Bernardo.
No, yeah, that's my opinion. You have an opinion, Juan, about that?
Yeah. Hi, Robert. How you doing? This is Juan here.
Yeah. So,
go ahead, Juan.
Yeah, my opinion. Hey, how you doing? Yes, my opinion on the Middle East.
What can I say? I just see over there it's a big mess. For me, I really don't have like a strong opinion about over there. All I see is that what I try to do is, for me, I just use common sense. What I see is that Israel and the United States, we don't have terrorism.
We don't produce terrorism like those countries do, and they actually worship terrorism.
We don't produce terrorism here, and over there they do.
So in the comic, we make fun of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not funny, but we can through our comic we can reflect on that. It seems
we have to
talk about.
Yes, we have to talk about it. At the end we have to talk about it. What we see in the media, for example, is that you see in Saturday Night Live shows like that, probably Family Guy. I haven't watched Family Guy lately. But in shows like that, you see them portraying Americans, Republicans, conservatives, you name it. You see Christians. You see them portraying Americans as extremists, as domestic terrorists, stuff like that. And you know what? If they're going to make fun of Americans that way, we're going to make fun of real terrorists. The way they're not, the way these shows are not making fun of.
Yeah, that's our opinion on it.
And one of the things, you know, when I was reading through the comic, it reminded me of a book that Pat Buchanan wrote called Death of the West. And like you guys do in the comic, at least my perspective, correct me if I'm wrong, but it critiques multiculturalism. And Pat Buchanan points out that he believes that it's a way a nation of losing their identity and losing national identity. Do you agree with that line of thinking? And what is your perspective as, you know, Hispanics on the movement towards multiculturalism in America?
Well, I can tell you that the education system in the United States is plagued by multiculturalism. It is a proactive effort to overtake American values. When me and Juan were not raised in Ecuador, most of our lives, we spent it in another country. These people that try to feed Americans this multiculturalism life, to impose other cultures into America, they don't respect assimilation. They want to impose other cultures, and that's not wrong because when you come from another country and you appreciate America as how it is, and most immigrants want to come to America and pursue Americans, become American citizens. And why would we come to this country to change it? So in the comedy, we make fun of the education system preaching multiculturalism. You see in the strip, in the comic strip that we drew about that, we actually show pictures of real consequences of multiculturalism. I mean, you cannot, let's say, for example, there's a community that there's a lot of Muslims living in it. It happens. We have a lot of Jewish communities in an area. We have Hispanic community. We have you name it. But let's say if one Muslim community wants to impose Sharia law in that little town. I mean, is it really Sharia law gonna be the law of the land instead of our constitution, our state laws, our city laws? I mean, and when they preach this multiculturalism in our education system from young for our youth, and then they keep brainwashing you during your college years, it just makes you the consequences can be because you can start hating America. And why would you do that? But it's all about an agenda. I mean, unfortunately, academia and the public school system is plagued by liberals that they do not appreciate America. They just don't see it. I mean, most of these people that preach multiculturalism haven't even lived in another state, was in another country. I mean, we see it how it is. We come here and we see how good we have it as Americans. What I see is that multiculturalism is driven by an agenda. I don't think it is actually about tolerating other people's cultures, because, I mean, think about it. When you don't assimilate, you're actually segregating people. Like, for example, if some people don't want to speak the English language, they want to speak Spanish or any other language, and only that is separating people into communities. Mm-hmm. That is not assimilation.
And the public school
that's very wise. Yeah.
That.
Yes, and listen, when we draw Chepotin, when we talk, if we talk about immigrants, about immigration, what we try to say in our message is to bring the best of other countries, not to bring the world.
Yeah, not to bring the world.
Of our country.
I mean, come here and become an American. There's no shame of being from Hispanic descent, but loving America and being an American. And yet, speaking English, not thinking that you're entitled of other people, especially in the customer service business, to speak Spanish for you. I mean, you came to America, right? I mean, you should learn English, correct?
Because you came because you're here in order to escape from a miserable life.
You came here to better yourself. Why would you want something less? Why would you just? I mean, you might have said you just stay in your country if you're not going to excel as a new American citizen or at least an American resident. So that's our take on it.
And our take is that, I mean, if you come here we don't even talk about, it's not about even being illegal, which, by the way, I do resent that. When I see politicians or people in the media talking about illegals as if talking about Hispanics, I do resent that. Because that's like putting me into a group. That's like telling me that I probably came here illegally. No, I didn't. I didn't come here illegally. And because I'm Hispanic, that doesn't mean that I support illegal immigration or breaking the law, anything like that. I'm Hispanic, yes, but I also want to be an American.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have to support immigration just because of the color of my skin. That's disgusting. And that's how these liberals.
That's how they think. I mean, they put us into groups, and I really resent that. I mean, it's insulting.
One other thing, I mean, most important, nobody ever talked about the legal immigrant. The legal immigrant that came here and spent money on this country to become citizen, did it the right way, waited for many years. What about them? If you give amnesty to illegals, what about the legal immigrants? In fact, that amnesty actually hurts legal immigrants because if you're waiting for your residency, you got to wait on a list. If you give millions of illegal immigrants amnesty, then the legal immigrants get pushed back. They don't go on the front of the line like most politicians pretend, especially the Rhino Republicans. They start saying, oh, yeah, you got to go to the back of the line. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I mean, and especially a Democrat. Democrats want only votes. You know that's why they do it, not because they're
very true, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they want votes. These career politicians, I mean, and that's the most disgusting part. These career politicians are not looking out for America. I don't know why most of these, especially the Rhino Republican, I can understand the liberals, they love information, they elect their own people. But people that elect Republicans, why do they keep electing the same Rhino Republicans that started in the back, like John McCain, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham? They're all conservatives during election time, and after that, boom, they're liberal, they're Democrats pretty much. They're watered down Democrats, and it's all about their careers. It's not about America. That's the most disgusting part. They're willing to sacrifice America, eventually maybe even destroying this country or sending it to a third world country status, just because they want to keep their job. That's horrible.
Well, that's incredible. Yeah, very astute, very, very astute there, guys. And I do want to ask this another question regarding, you know, directly to your comic. And I wanted to ask you, you know, if you believe because you cover those types of topics, do you believe that differentiates, makes your comic different than other cartoons? And I definitely want to get there. But let's go ahead. We'll do that, and then I want to ask you a question about the debt. So you cover these topics, the perspective you have in these topics. Do you believe that what makes and what else makes your comic different from other comics or cartoons?
Well, our pro-American message. If you see the Simpsons or Family Guy, the mainstream comics, they're anti-American values, they're anti-Christianity. They always take a cheap shot against Christians, but they never do against other religions. You shouldn't even take cheap shots on other religions because it's just not good humor. So you watch these comics, you watch these cartoons, you watch these comics, they're anti-American, they don't really motivate you. Our comic does the opposite. We do the good things. We are pro-American. We motivate people. We deliver a story that's original. You can, if you read, I mean, and you have read it, Robert, I mean, it's something that you really haven't seen in other comic strips. I mean, think about it. If one of these liberal artists do a comic strip about Hispanic guys, and there are some out there, they're all about preaching multiculturalism and dividing Hispanics against Americans. We don't do that. We don't do that. The main characters are Hispanics, but they never say they're Hispanics. They say they're Americans, and they fight for America. They fight for their country.
No, and also I want to add to this. If you notice, I mean, you just watch a cartoon, like The Simpsons or Family Guy, or you read a comic strip, and actually any comic strip, or a comic book, actually, because I'm a little bit of a geek. I sometimes read comics. And you just read them or watch the cartoons, and you just notice all the time cheap shots, something against America, something against Christianity, something to say against, I don't know, against the police. So what we're trying to
do, these comics are always anti-police. I mean, seriously, like, who are they gonna call when the evil people go and knock at their door? They call the police, but yet again, they find any way to bash police officers. Like liberals hate police officers.
So what we do is we took the what we wanted to do was make it original. You know, we just sat down, me and my brothers, we sat down and said, you know what? Everything that we see is always anti-Christian, anti-military, I mean, anti-America, all that. You know what? Let's make it the opposite way. That way, it will be original. In today's times, that's original. I mean, because they're supposed to be all edgy, all cool, original. I mean, that's not cool. That's not original. That's not brave.
Who says that bashing Americans and bashing Christians is brave and cool?
Especially
no one.
Yeah, especially when you know that nothing is gonna happen to you in this country. So that's what we did. What today is original. That's what we did.
Think about it, Robert. Most of these people in mainstream media in Hollywood, most of these liberals, they like to be loved. They like people to like them. So what do they do? They sell out. They sell out. They start going with the mob mentality. They start going with the crowd. We don't care what other people think, and we will never care. There's people that they hate us. They hate Chet.
That's right.
We get vicious emails pretty much every day. They try to crash our website. They try to crash our email by sending spams and viruses and all that good stuff.
Yes, we get real hate comments. Like real hate comments,
real racist hate comments.
That's right.
So the liberal, the compassionate liberal left shows their true colors when you're actually preaching Americanism and being fair to people and providing good humor. And really good humor nowadays, you don't see it because everywhere you go, anti-America, 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 anti-police, anti-military. Come on, like, when is it going to end? And that's our sole mission, to end it, to provide an alternative. And we want to be successful on this. This is no small time. We go and work hard for this goal.
And also, I want to say that I don't want to say I'm a conservative, but I'm really not a liberal. I'm really not a liberal.
I mean, yeah.
And so what I have noticed is that, and the reason that I'm not a liberal is because I don't like hypocrisy. And one of those hypocritical things that they do is that they are always trying to say that the conservatives or Republicans or or people that just don't agree with them, they're always trying to say that they're racist. They're racist because they oppose Obama. They're racist because they oppose, I don't know, some government program. Whatever it is, they're anti-women. You are anti-women, you don't support abortion.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're anti-women because you don't support the killing of babies. back to the hypocritical issue. So they say stuff like that, but then you just have to see our emails. You just have to see the messages that they give us. I mean, they call us the nastiest racist stuff out there. It's like they are making their past, you know, the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, all those liberals that used to support
segregation.
Yeah,
they're coming out again.
Yeah, they come back in our comments. I mean, it's like that's the way it seems that's the way they have always been. That they know better than others, either when they were racist or now they're racist. Yeah, but they call themselves compassionate now. But actually, I'm telling you, it's like the most racist, vile thing that we never get it from a Christian, from a conservative, you know, from a pro-American person. We never get that.
Only from liberals.
The most racist thing. Like they see our skin color and right there they call it
like
the most nastiest.
Like, oh my God, how can you be Hispanic and not be a Democrat? Or how can you be a Hispanic and not support Obama? I mean, I'm like, you know what? Because I have a brain. Because I can think for myself. That's why. And we get that every day. Every day.
I can imagine what kind of stuff you guys go through. But I'm jumping around with some of the questions I have here. It's a flow, ebb and flow of the conversation. And I do know there's some folks who may have some questions for you guys. So one thing that we are going to be discussing tonight is the debt ceiling, and here on Biology Logic we do like to discuss solutions. So what do you think what ought to be done about the debt ceiling, or raising the debt ceiling, and that debate's going on tonight, I believe, still in the House, and we'll get some updates and things later on, as I told the folks in the beginning of the show. But tell us your thoughts on the debt ceiling, and then we'll move on to find out how did you guys come up with the idea of creating the SHPO team? So let's do the debt ceiling first, and then how you guys got that.
Yeah.
And then what we'll do is we'll open up the mic for we'll have James here, who may have some questions, and also for folks, if you'd like to call in at 347-945-7428. If you guys have any questions for Juan or Bernardo, and then we'll, of course, at the top of the hour, make sure that we give these gentlemen the opportunity to tell folks where you guys can find them. So what do you guys think on the debt ceiling?
Well, I can tell you, just don't increase it. If you have a spending problem, you have a credit, let's say you as an individual, as Robert, or me as Bernardo, if I have a debt problem, I owe a lot of money. I have problems with debt. I have a lot of credit cards that I haven't paid. Does it really make sense to increase my debt limit to get more credit cards, get more credit lines to pay my own debt? Of course, it doesn't make sense. So that common sense idea should apply to this debt ceiling issue. But yet again, you get these Democrats, these liberals, this weak Rhino Republican, start saying that if you don't increase the debt ceiling, they start creating panic. Oh my God, we're not going to be able to pay our bills. Oh my God, what are we going to do? They're just lying to our faces. I mean, who, and at the end, who pays the bills? We pay the bills with the working American. So yeah, don't increase it. Unfortunately, Obama has a debt problem himself. I mean, anyone with common sense knows that getting more credit cards to pay off your bills is a dumb idea. Yet again, I mean, it seems that we do have a dumb president. yeah, man. The solution lies in putting common sense economics inside
the low information voters head, because at the end of the day, the people that elect these corrupt line liberals like Obama are the low information voters. Nobody in the right hand with good common sense and that loves this country and loves free market and loves opportunity will vote for a socialist like Obama. And I'll tell you right now, Obama is the same type of politician that we grew up seeing in Latin America.
Definitely. That's right. I mean, I couldn't have put it better myself. I mean, it is. I mean, now I said everything. I cannot say anymore.
Do not increase the debt ceiling. Don't create more debt to pay your own debt. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It's a stupidity.
do something about spending. Before we open it up to the other folks to ask you guys some questions, how did you guys come up with the idea of creating Shepherd Team?
Well, I mean, Juan, you can explain that one.
Well, this goes back to when I used to live in my country of origin. I was born there, Ecuador. I was born in Ecuador. My brothers, by the way, they were born here, but I was born in Ecuador. But we did live a good chunk of our life.
All our childhood, we live over there.
Yes. So that's why we have a strong accent. So the way we created Chepo Team was I'm the artist, by the way. That's me, Juan. I always like to draw, and I remember that I used to want to be a cartoonist back when I lived in Ecuador. Since I was very close to my younger brothers, I would draw stories surrounding us. Then, when we came to the U.S., and that's when we actually originated Chepo Team, when we were kids.
Yeah.
But obviously, back then, it wasn't what it is right now.
Yeah, it was all for fun. I mean, we were very close.
We didn't have big dreams of appearing on the Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, who
Power Rangers.
But then when we came to the U.S., for me, I followed a different path for many years. That was for many years until one day my brothers came up to me and they told me, you know what, Juan? You remember that cartoon that you used to draw and we used to, you know, have fun with it? How about we have a few ideas for you? Actually, we have a few ideas for you to draw, so how about it?
Let's put some episodes together.
Yeah, so then we decided to do a cartoon that would actually be pro-America, pro-police, pro-military, you know, everything original.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, yeah, ideas like that are
not
original.
Liberal.
Yeah, are not liberal. They are
not
original. So, our comic strip, that's what I want to say. Our comic strip is not liberal, like many mainstream comic strips and cartoons today. Actually, I want to expand on that. I want to say something. I don't know if you have seen a comic strip called Doonesbury.
Doonesbury?
Robert Doonesbury?
Oh, my gosh, years and years ago.
I
don't remember the content, to be honest, that much.
But yeah, it's still in the newspaper. It's still going. And
yeah, nobody watches it.
Yeah, not just nobody reads it. I mean, I don't beg you if you haven't seen it. You haven't read it lately. I mean, nobody reads it. I mean, the thing is that you just read the first panel and you just want to kill yourself already. It's just very lame and very boring. But that is what passes as good humor, quote unquote.
Yeah, it's very depressing too, but what do you expect from an anti-American comic strip?
Yeah, and that's why we're always saying that, and people do tell us all the time on Facebook that our comic is original. It's like nothing they're reading right now or
they
look
forward to it.
Yeah, they look forward to it because they don't see it's not cliche. It's very cliche to say something against Texas. It's very cliche to say something about to say something against pro-life people. It's very cliche. What is not cliche, is talking about, I don't know, against multiculturalism. That is not cliche.
Or in favor of police officers.
Or if you're in favor of decency, which is to be in favor of police officers, the military, or the military. That is a reason.
Or talk in favor of the U.S. Constitution,
yeah.
Or freedom,
so
or free market.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the reason I mentioned in Doonesbury is because it also has its own official Facebook page. We already passed them. We get more shares, more likes, and we have more likes on the page than Doonesbury.
We
so
get more responses than them.
We get more responses than them. So we're already going in
the right direction.
In the right direction. So
the ultimate goal, honestly, the ultimate goal is to defeat these liberal cartoons. I mean, we're looking towards the Simpsons and the Family Guy. That's the ultimate goal. Having the youth to have an alternative to laugh and to appreciate America through entertainment, and that's very hard to find right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we do. Keep it.
That's actually our motivation. To besides being successful, we want to be successful. We're conservative, so we want to be successful.
Well, when it's successful, when it has a great message, and I tell you what, wasn't the last time you updated, but I was reading it a couple nights ago, and I couldn't stop laughing. I actually had to, you know, soften my laugh because I know my wife is in the other room sleeping. And it's so funny because it's so spot on and it's just so true that, you know, and the way it's depicted, it's really funny. It's real pithy, as I said earlier, and definitely on target. But I do have some folks
thank you.
Who'd like to ask two questions. Then we got about 20 minutes till the top of the hour. So for anyone else, you may have some questions. I know we got some who may just be listening here as well, but you are welcome to call at 347-945-7428. And right now I'll open up to you, James. You've been there for a little bit, but you know what I mean. If you got any questions for the two gentlemen, and then we'll open up the mics. Go ahead, James.
I just wanted to say I'm glad to see that we've got a comic strip out there like you guys are putting out. I mean, it definitely is, it is original for the times. You know, we haven't seen anything like that for a very long time.
Thank you.
It's refreshing to see that, you know, it's just refreshing to see that what you're discussing on there is starting to come back out to, you know, to be discussed by the American people, because, you know, you'll reach a whole different audience with that than what you would with traditional, you know, print media and things like that. And really you could strike a chord with people that you really otherwise wouldn't be reached, you know, and it's a excellent concept. And I hope that you have just the greatest success with it, because I mean, there's people out there that'll read comic books and they won't read anything else.
No, that's true. I mean, thank you for those words. I mean, that's what we want. We want to be successful. We are motivated on reaching the whole United States and the whole world with this pro-American message. It's insulting every time we see liberal cartoons like Family Guy and The Simpsons insulting our values, insulting what we believe in, insulting our religion. There's freedom of speech in the United States, but there's not an alternative, and we are the alternative.
And the worst of all is that they insult our intelligence. I mean, that is why I always told my brothers, I mean, since forever, that something that I never liked was people to insult my intelligence. So when I see these shows, like, for example, Jon Stewart saying, oh, no, I'm just a comedian. I'm just a comedian. I'm not a newsman. And then later on, he talks seriously about the issues. And then we're like, okay, didn't you say you were not serious? Weren't you supposed to be a comedian?
Just a comedian.
Yeah, just a comedian, quote unquote. So, I mean, we don't like when people insult our intelligence. I mean, another example of insulting our intelligence is when, For example, in Saturday Night Live, I once saw a sketch that they portrayed. They actually portrayed Mitt Romney, they portrayed him as a Joe Biden-esque kind of person, that he was making a lot of gaffes, you know, he was saying a lot of stupid stuff. And I was looking at that sketch, and it was actually, you know what, instead of putting Mitt Romney, what it would have looked funny, and what it would have looked right on spot,
it would have actually been funny.
It would have actually been funny if you have put Joe Biden in that sketch, not Mitt Romney. So that's what I'm saying. Like the three of us just got tired of the entertainment industry insulting our intelligence.
I'm sure I do agree with you, James.
Sorry. Say again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you agree with that. I mean, you have to be tired of these people. I mean, this mainstream entertainment in trying to insult your intelligence as an American, right?
Well, it is. It's just, you know, I mean, it just makes me sick. I mean, the fact that they, you know, they try to paint, you know, paint people that disagree with them, you know, especially on the left side, as you know, the left rather tries to portray anybody that doesn't believe with them as idiots and low intelligence. When, I mean, come on, you know, they voted for a guy that they didn't even know anything about, and you know, what kind of intelligence does that take? And it's just maddening.
Well, you don't have to be intelligent to be a liberal, that's for sure. It's harder to be a conservative because you actually got to be informed. If you are liberal, you just have to follow the mob and repeat what everybody else says. And that's why it looks like liberal media is so successful nowadays. It's easy.
You just have to say something that out of a Family Guy episode, and you're considered edgy, you're considered smart, you're considered funny.
I'm brave,
more than quote. Brave. Yeah, I mean,
right.
Come on. That's why we say this. It's just they insult our intelligence the whole time, and like we're
fed up.
Yeah, we're fed up.
And at this point, gentlemen, we do have a line of folks here who would like to chime in and ask you some questions. And, of course, I'll keep the lines open as we do here on the show. So first in line is 803. Thank you very much for coming to the show. Just tell us your name and where you're coming from. We appreciate it. How are you?
Is that me?
803. Hi.
Hello.
This is
Ann Robert. Yeah.
Oh, hi, Ann. Thank you very much. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. And I believe you were the impetus of me inviting Shippo team on the show. I want to thank you. They've been some great guests. It's great having them on. Thank you very much, Ann, for bringing them to my attention.
Yeah. I missed a lot of the first part. I've just been listening in the past few minutes, but I'm really excited to hear what I've heard, and I haven't had a chance to actually check out a whole lot of their stuff yet, but now I'm really excited to go check it out. And I just have to say, you know, I tell you who I'm sick of insulting my intelligence, and that's Washington.
And, yeah, they do. Washington, I mean, these politicians, they really think that the American people is stupid. But that could change any time. We just got to...
But not only that, I mean, the thing is that I don't think that these politicians will get away with half of it, of what they do,
if it wasn't for the liberal media and entertainment.
If it wasn't for the media and entertainment. It's like they truly care what they think about them and not what the American people think about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do have a question, and if it's already been addressed, then I can go back and listen to the first part of the show, because I don't really know what you all addressed, but one question I have is regarding the Hispanic community and, you know, how, I don't know how to word what I want to ask you, but basically I guess my concern is that Hispanics in my understanding of Hispanics is that generally, based on like family values and the culture, that they should lean more conservative in their political views, but it seems that they vote more on the other side. And so I guess my question would be is that an accurate perception? But then if so, obviously I would like to see that change, and I feel that your medium is a great way to reach into the Hispanic community and to help change that.
Well, yes. I mean, it's not only Hispanics. I mean, you could be Hispanic, European, white, black. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you are a good person, you will have family values. One thing that I can tell you though is that people do have that perception. But look at black families. They are very conservative. When it comes to family values, but they also vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's gotta be a reason to that. But I can tell you the reason why I believe the Hispanics vote mainly Democrat, because just look at Latin America, just look at the country. It's mainly ruled by big government socialist elitist leaders. When they campaign, they say words about compassion, the fair share. They always attack the rich. Always. They always attack success. They always talk about increasing minimum wage and taking care of the poor. So
they win.
And they win in massive landslides. If you are a capitalist over there, you get no chance. So think about it. They race that way, they don't know any better. They think over here in America, America is just gonna be good to them. They have better opportunities. But they don't understand. That's the problem. They don't understand why there is better opportunity.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So when the moment comes to vote, they vote for the person that promises to take care of them, to be, you know, all about the fair share and compassion, and that actually takes away their freedoms to be successful, and they don't get that. What do you think, Anne?
Yeah. No. That makes a lot of sense, and I was just really excited when I saw you guys or whoever did posted a comment to someone's discussion on Facebook. It must have been Ted Cruz or one of those guys. And so then of course I knew Robert, and I knew he had this show, and I thought it would be great, you know, for him to try to get you guys on, because I see you as having a great opportunity to try to help change that in some way. I wonder, maybe you all have a message for, you know, the politicians on the conservative side that would be running as to ways that they could, you know, better reach out to or connect with, you know, Hispanics in a way that would be effective.
Don't sell out. That's what I say to them. Don't sell out.
Don't sell out. Yeah.
What do you think?
I think the same. Don't sell out. That's the thing. When these politicians start when conservatives, not conservatives, but real conservatives like Ted Cruz, they don't do this stuff. But let's say Rhino Republicans like John Boehner or John McCain or Lindsey Graham, they start talking like Democrats. They start dividing Hispanics. You know, so if you're Hispanic, you belong over here, and the rest of America belongs over there.
Mm-hmm.
No, we all belong to this country. So they
remember Jeb Bush? What he said?
No, I don't know about Jeb Bush.
Yeah, he said something like, I remember Jeb Bush. He said, that Hispanics are more fertile than Americans.
Like seriously, how did he say that? Are we animals?
I'm like, what the hell is that? Hispanics are more fertile? I mean, he was trying to be nice about Hispanics, I think, but what he was actually doing, first of all...
He looked pathetic, first of all.
Yeah, first of all, he looked pathetic.
Pathetic.
He sounded, he was pathetic. But second of all, is like, okay, you're insulting Americans, but at the same time,
you're
also insulting Hispanics too. So, and that's what we say. Right? And the message that we would say to Hispanics, or what politicians would say to Hispanics, is, you know what? I mean, don't be afraid too. Be American. Be conservative. Do not try to pander to Hispanics. Pander to Americans.
Make us feel that we're American.
Hispanics want to be here to succeed. You know what? Even some illegal immigrants, they're not here for the free keys. They're here to see the way to get the papers and then succeed in life. I mean, some of them are good people, but a lot of them are not good people.
Actually, that's what I wanted to say. What you just said, I wanted to say that at the beginning, but
so just be strong and be conservative and be pro-American. Be like Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was hated. He was hated by the Republican establishment as well as he was hated by the liberals. So these politicians are cowards right now. The Rhino Republicans are cowards right now. The Democrats, they just do what they do. But the Rhino Republicans, they're weak, they're cowards. And then a strong candidate like Ted Cruz, and I can tell you, Sophie, I like Ted Cruz before anybody else in my family. As soon as I heard that man speak, I like him. I used to talk about Ted Cruz in my job with my friends. Nobody knew him until he pulled the 20-plus hour Billy Buster. Oh, now you know Ted Cruz. Love him. I knew he was a good guy.
And actually, you liked him because he was not pandering to
Hispanic. Yeah, because he's not pandering to Hispanic.
Again, what was you for America?
He's not pro-amnesty. He's not. He just was good for America. I mean, he's a very smart man. And if you're smart and if you have basic knowledge of economics, you should know that you have a massive welfare state like we have here in the United States. You cannot have amnesty. I believe Milton Friedman said that. You cannot have amnesty in a massive welfare state. So come on, politicians, don't be losers. Be winners. Be strong. Be successful. Don't be valiant. Don't be cowards. Don't be cowards like the left. Don't be like Gurley Obama.
And I do have the post on Facebook that you're referring to, Anne. And I do see some other folks wanting to chime in. 386, just to let you know, I'll be having you come in next. And for those who are on the line and would like to chime in, just press the 1 on your number dial to let me know that you'd like to come into the show. And we'll get you in the order that you called in, or the order that you asked to chime in. But if you don't mind, Bernardo and Juan, the message she's referring to is actually by your brother Orlando, Bernardo.
Yes.
I believe he posted this in Ted Cruz 2016. And would it be okay with you if I read this post?
Yeah, you can read it if you want.
Okay.
I know what he said.
And this was on Ted Cruz page. It's from Orlando. It says, I'm Hispanic and I'm tired of how all these corrupt, racist liberals like Obama and his supporters are trying to turn this great country into a third world one.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, one of the biggest problems we have right now is the media and entertainment that are always trying to tell us how to think. They have created enough imbeciles that will reelect a failure like racist Obama. Even more, I'm supposed to bow down to an anti-American Obama, love liberal policies no matter how destructive they are, love bigger enslaving government, and be in favor of illegal immigration because of the color of my skin? Disgusting. That's why I and others, and this is going to be a promo, I and others created Sheppo Team, the first true pro-American, pro-Constitution conservative comic strip. Please support us, our cause, by visiting our Facebook page. And, of course, folks can find it at www.facebook.com/ShepoTeam, and that is ShepoTam. Thank you. And thank you very much, gentlemen, for allowing me to read that. Go ahead.
Let me tell you something about that post. We have posted that
a couple of times in Facebook, and I can tell you the liberals, they despise that message. In fact, when my brother Orlando or I myself posted a version of what you just read, they viciously attack us because nowadays in Facebook you can also reply to those comments too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they start attacking you, and that's when you see the true color.
And also, like, everything that they say that conservatives supposedly say against minorities, actually they're the ones who say those things. They have told us to go back to Mexico.
Yeah, they call us Mexicans, even though we're not from Mexico. If you're Hispanic, you're Mexican. That's how the leader of this is, a Hispanic Mexican. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're European, you're French. You know,
but you know what? You know what? That right there really just shows their ignorance. That's all that.
Of course, and that's actually better for us because when they do that, we jump in and we're. I mean, we like to believe we're a little bit informed and we're a little bit smart. So a lot of times we outsmart these liberals. We shut them down. They say something and we make them look stupid.
And like the racist they are. And the racist they are.
No, you get a racist liberal that's just going on the racist liberal rant. Just press the block button in Facebook and you don't have to deal with that loser again. That's how we get back.
And real quick, folks, I just got a message here. James, if you're still on the line, I know you have to go, but hopefully you'll be able to come back. But if not, that's fine. We appreciate any time you come on. If you got any last parting things that you've got some time to say, or even if it's just your good night, go ahead. I'll give you the floor.
I'd just like to thank these guys just for doing what they're doing. Again, like I said earlier, it's refreshing, and you know, I'd be happy to spread the word for what you're doing and do what I can do to help you.
Thank you.
That'll be great. We'll network after the show, or you know, subsequent nights and days, and we'll get that together because you know we conservatives have to really get rise up and stick together and work together.
Yeah.
Well, we have to, and that's the key. We've all got to work together because the enemy is working together.
Of course. Yeah, that's true. I mean, the enemy always works together, and I mean, you can see in Congress how the good people fight each other. I mean, the real pro-America conservatives against the fake Rhino Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
What the liberal left always stays together, and they that's a good tactic. I mean, they are strong in their anti-American message, in their pro big government ideas.
And the reason they're kind of successful is because, I mean, the way I see it, I mean, like I said, I'm not a conservative, but I'm definitely not a liberal. I'm definitely not a liberal. But I do always admire Ronald Reagan, and I read a lot about him. And what I read about him on his presidency, is that the way he defeated communism in the Soviet Union was by attacking them from everywhere. Like it was from either building weapons, by attacking them economically.
By pro-American values,
yes,
by supporting
pro-democracy governments and pro-democracy guerrillas. I mean, he was doing everything. He was attacking them from everywhere, and that's what I see right now. That's what the liberals do actually against America and against conservatives and against American values. What they do is attack us from everywhere. They attack us through entertainment. They attack us through media. They attack us through academia,
public school system.
Yeah, from everything.
And everywhere.
That's why we say, you know what? Nobody's doing a comic strip that is pro-America, pro-military, pro-police.
Conservative leaning.
Nobody's doing a comic strip like that. So you know what? Let's be one. Let's do it. Because if like that famous saying that it says if not us then who? If not now then when? I mean that's we're
gonna do it. That's our thing. We're gonna keep going, and we're gonna spend our own resources to make this happen. Right now, we only ask for support. We're not selling anything. We're not asking for donation. We don't do none of that.
No.
But we can provide for ourselves. Yes. We can make it happen on our own. That's why we're successful. We're pro-American. We're conservative. That's how we do it. We make it happen. We don't want other people to make it happen for us. We will make it happen. So the only thing that we ask is support us and just watch the comic strip every time we release it and just
share it,
but make your decision. Make your decision. See if you like it. Not everybody's going to like it. Some people tell us, oh, I'm not liking your page because I didn't like what you did in last week or something like that. Okay, that's fine. It's not for everybody. But I guarantee you it's for at least half of the Americans that get segregated by liberal entertainment.
Exactly.
How often do you do a new one?
We try to do it every Sunday, but as you can see, as Robert said in the beginning, I do whole four jobs right now. Most of them are part-time, thanks to Obama. I do have one full-time job right now. And I do have a fourth job that I hold it right now in the county, but I have that job, but I don't really work on it, but I work on my other three jobs, which is in sales. Two are in sales. The other one is I'm a reservist in the military, so I do that too. So we are busy people. My brother has two jobs too. We gotta pay our bills like every other American. We gotta go by. My point is that we try to release it every Sunday, but unfortunately sometimes we get a little bit of delay, and we apologize every time we communicate with her.
We always stay in touch.
We're not elitist
like people in the media. No, we do try to stay in touch.
And I tell you, we respect our readers. We are not gonna rush a comic strip or an episode because we go by episode.
Right.
The comic strip that you see right now is one big episode, but we're not gonna rush it because we want to provide quality. So sometimes we get delayed, but we respect our readers and we want to provide the best entertainment because that's the only way they're gonna support us and follow us, by providing a good quality comic stream.
Yeah.
And real quick, gentlemen, I want to thank James for coming into the show. Of course, that's James Neighbor, who is the founder of the the Overpasses for Obama's impeachment, and you can hear them on subsequent shows by listening to the archives, and you can also find your local Overpasses for Obama's impeachment by going to and just searching in the Facebook page for your state for Overpasses for Obama's impeachment. So check that out. Send James a hello. But real quick, and I'll keep the mics open, but we do have other folks who are waiting. And for those who come in new and want to chat with us or our guests or other your audience members, you can by dialing 347-945-7428. Or if you're already in the line and you like to speak with one of us, then you can just hit the 1 on your number dial or send me a message here on the chat on Blog Talk Radio or the chat of Facebook. But at this time, 386, I'll be bringing you on, and then 530, who I believe, I knew who that did, perhaps a dear friend of ours. But first, we'll have 386 to just give us your name and where you're calling from, and thank you very much for coming in the show. How are you?
You still don't recognize my number, Robert.
I don't memorize people's phone numbers. I think it's kind of rude.
Oh, well, I was hoping that before James would go, we could get
an
update on.
Oh, my gosh, Vinny, okay. You'd think I would yours by at least by now. Would you be
yeah.
amazed how many people call and listen from Florida?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was hoping James would give us an update before he left, but did he go already?
Yeah, he had something that came up that
okay.
he had to run. He apologized for
all right,
because so.
we had And I wanted him to mention, you know, that he has that big thing. There's a big nationwide, another nationwide rally going to go on November 1st and 2nd. So I was just going to try to get that word out to everybody.
Oh,
too.
And I missed your chat. I apologize for that.
That's okay. That's okay. Anyway, I had a question for those guys and a little word of encouragement for them. And then I wanted to give an update on what Ron DeSantis just sent me a couple hours ago. Of course, he sent it to everybody. I'm not special. Anyway.
You're
special,
Cindy.
Yeah, well.
So special.
So anyway, well, you know, guys, it's cheapo, right? Is that how you say it?
Cheapo?
Oh, Sheppo. Okay, that's right. Yeah. Well, anyway, Juan and guys, we you know, you guys have done such a good job, and we're so proud of y'all for doing what you're doing. And, you know, progressives have used propaganda in very bad ways, like name-calling and insults and grating remarks to make people feel embarrassed because they're a supporter of conservatives. They make you feel embarrassed to be pro-life and embarrassed to want to embarrassed to want to balance the budget and everything else that we're trying to do. They're trying to shut us up by making us feel embarrassed, and these are evil methods to get what they want. And
they're bullied.
They don't have any morals, so they can, to them, whatever you have to do, do it, you know. And I fully believe, after looking at the long list of people who have died in the Clinton administration and the people who have died in Obama's administration already, his list is coming close to Clinton's already. You know, when you look at that, I think maybe they're even going as far as murder to cover up the things that they're doing. But anyway, they're using evil methods to get what they want. And unfortunately, those methods work quite well. We on the right, we use rational reasoning to convince people. Unfortunately, that's not sensational enough to attract attention, especially our young people. Our young people have been dumbed down in school. They can't think for themselves. They've been slowed down. TV has produced two generations of attention deficits because have you ever noticed that when you're watching a TV show, you see a scene no more than 4 or 5 seconds. They're going bam, 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 one scene to the next. They don't give you a chance to look at anything long enough to concentrate on it. And I think this is on purpose. I don't think it's for TV viewing pleasure. I think it's to teach us not to concentrate and not to think while we're watching. They move you from one thing to the other so quickly. But after all of that, you guys have a forum for good propaganda to reach young people. Cartoons is still something that is always beloved by children and young people, even young adults. And they still like, I still like cartoons. We all love cartoons. So it is a really... It's a good method. So y'all have a good forum here for propaganda, for the right kind of propaganda. Well, it's more, I don't call it propaganda because what we do is tell the truth and we educate. If you educate and tell the truth, that's not really propaganda. Propaganda is twisting the truth and using scare tactics and insults to get what you want. And so what we do is not propaganda. I apologize for that choice, bad choice of words.
No,
but anyway.
No, we know what you mean.
Yeah.
We know what you mean.
So keep on going. Keep on keeping on. And do you guys have a Spanish version of this?
You know what? The beginning when we started the comic strip, the current episode that you guys are you can catch on our website was written in Spanish first. But we decided to just make it in English because it's for America. So first we do it in English, then if that reaches the audience that we want, we'll make it in Spanish. But yeah, or like right now we're not putting the same version in Spanish, but that's something that we will do eventually.
Yeah. Well, I think it might be something good because, you know, we do have, I live in Pearson, Florida. In our county, we have a fern industry. It's the kind of fern that you get in floral arrangements, you know, cut greens and stuff. And that's what my husband does. We farm and we grow all this stuff. And it's a year-round crop. You can cut year-round. It's not migrant work, so a lot of Mexicans like to come here because they can set up their lives here and they don't have to move their children all around, and it's a fairly good-paying job still. And
yeah.
They can actually save a little money, start businesses of their own, and so it's a magnet for Mexicans. Now, we do have a lot of illegals here. A lot of the fern growers don't keep close watch on, you know, who they're hiring. Now it's getting a little better because some laws were made and it's getting a little scarier for them to not follow the rules. But still, we do have some illegals here. And we have a lot that don't speak English very well. Okay, so if they were to read your cartoon, I'm not sure they would understand it.
That's true. I mean, you make a good point there, and I mean we'll take that into consideration. We'll definitely, I mean, that's in our plan. It's just not where we're going right now.
And we're definitely aware of some of the importance that to reach to people that don't speak English, because when we have news networks here that are called, we have news networks called Telemundo and Univision. I mean,
yeah, the Spanish-speaking networks.
Yeah, Spanish-speaking networks. And one of the reasons why Hispanics are voting Democrats, I mean, one of the reasons is because they only watch Telemundo and Univision,
mm-hmm.
and it's practically just like the American liberal media is just like that. Liberal. They say that they reach to Hispanics, these Spanish speaking networks, they say they reach to Hispanics, but when I see the news, everything that they talk about is about illegals, how illegals deserve this, how illegals deserve that. I mean, it's constantly...
It's constantly
a pro-amnesty and on many occasions anti-American propaganda. I mean, it's ridiculous. So we do know the importance of trying to reach the people that don't speak English, of course.
Well, my daughter-in-law is Mexican, and my daughter-in-law says that the Mexicans that she knows, now she's pretty Americanized now, but still, when she says the Mexicans she knows are... even if they were supporters of Obama's in the beginning, they are no longer, and that people are getting a sour note from him. And they understand, the ones she talks to, they understand what Ted Cruz was trying to say on the Senate floor when he talked about how the legal Mexicans are the ones that are going to be losing their jobs when the health care kicks in, because when immigration reform kicks in, because if it ever passes, because those people that come in on his immigration reform bill are going to be exempt from that health care, Obamacare. In other words, an employer who has, let's say, 50...
And we will go back and touch on this. I just had somebody on the line for a while I do want to bring in. And I believe this is Kelly. Kelly, is that you? 530?
Go ahead and let this lady reach her point, because she almost reached her point.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just didn't want to – I apologize. And yeah, I just want to bring Kelly in. We haven't seen Kelly for a while, so I wanted to get him in there. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well, when the immigration bill gets passed, the people who come in under the immigration bill will be exempt from Obamacare. In other words, an employer who has, more than 50 people on his. He has to buy them insurance. He has more than 50 employees. Okay, well, if he has 25 of them that are legal Mexicans, he's going to say bye bye. I am now going to hire 25 of these illegals that have been given permission to be here because I don't have to pay their health care. And so that means legal Mexicans that did it the legal way, or even, you know, people from Ecuador, like Juan, anybody that came in the right way gets punished because they get dropped. What do you think of that?
No, yeah, that's true. And the big problem right now is that big business, for example, right now are pro amnesty, because what you just mentioned, they want that right now. They want to save money on that. They want to hire these new eligible workers to save some money, and then that actually segregates Americans. I mean, not only segregates white Americans, segregates black Americans, Hispanic Americans, Middle Eastern Americans, you name it. So
yeah, I agree with that. I mean,
yeah, it's the black people too. It's anybody who is employed in a low level job, something unskilled labor or low skilled labor.
Yeah,
they're
the ones. Entry level job.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you are right. I hope that we hope that doesn't pass. Actually, Obama was talking on Tuesday about as soon as this debt ceiling issue goes by. I can quote him. I have the article that on George Report. He says, once that's done, the debt ceiling issue. You know, the day after, I'm going to be pushing to say, call a vote on immigration reform, a.k.a. amnesty. So Obama and the Democrats are already looking ahead of this issue right now, while the Republicans are stuck on the debt ceiling issue. Obama's already looking past that and eyeing immigration reform, but he's just looking at new borders. I mean, that's a goal for him. And like I said, these politicians, they do not care about Americans. As long as they get their way, they're waiting to throw America under the bus.
Exactly.
So that's unfortunate.
Well, you need a cartoon that brings to note. I mean, people have to notice that we're getting pulled around by the news media. When we get on an issue that we want to have solved and they don't want it to be solved, they move on to another issue. They
mm-hmm.
put some of the big thing out there, and so then we get this next thing that comes on. It's like you have six crises, 10 crises going on at the same time, and it gets the people so befuddled and so like, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, you know?
But,
and so,
real quick, let me say on that, but they just not go drive by with their news. They actually alter the news, too, or they only say what pushes their agenda. So it makes it seem
mm-hmm.
like they're giving you news, but they're not giving you the right news.
That's right. And they leave a lot of news out. They do more leaving out news than they do changing the news.
Of course.
Yeah. You can do a lot from just leaving stuff out.
No,
and actually, and we go back to our comments. I mean, we are so fed up of people insulting our intelligence, especially from the media. I mean, from the media and entertainment, actually. We are so fed up of it that you look at our comic strip, I mean, we do make fun of the media. I mean, we put them on the spot. I mean, like I said, Like every cartoon or comic strip will always attack Fox News. Always Fox News is bad for you, don't listen to Fox News, they are this, they are that.
But no, I said anything about MSNBC
or CNN.
I mean, if you watch the second debate between Obama, I mean, Romney, I mean, in a real world,
common sense world.
In a common sense world, that woman, Candy Crowley, that woman would have been fired for doing,
mm-hmm.
I mean, for team tagging Obama
tagging.
Against that team with Obama
against
Romney. Against Romney.
Two against one.
Yeah. So that's what we do. I mean,
and she is the moderator. No, she's pulling for Obama.
She was
yeah.
a political.
So you see how they sold our intelligence. So our way to make fun of events like that, we do it through the cartoon. And we have put Candy Crowley in the comics. If you haven't watched it, you should.
I was just gonna make a comment when I was reading the comic. I seen your depictions with Jon Stewart, which seems to draw a lot of your ire, which is hilarious. Along with Michael Moore and Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you make fun of them? Those are those are the biggest.
I like to call Jon Stewart. I always refer him to a person as with the clown nose on and clown nose off. I mean, we make fun of a lot of people, but something that all of us don't like at all are hypocrites. We try to sell the intelligence of everybody. And you know what? Jon Stewart, the way I see it, is probably the biggest hypocrite in the entertainment industry.
And a bully, too. As long as you try to debate, if you see somebody trying to debate Jon Stewart, as soon as he's on the corner, he puts his clown nose on, and that's how he gets away with murder.
Yeah.
But then he wants to be serious. He takes away the clown nose.
When he cannot debate, he goes with comedy. But when he can debate, he goes seriously.
Just hypocrisy.
Yeah, and the worst of all is that millions of Americans get their news from the likes of him. Michael Moore, The Simpsons, Family Guy, you name it. All in the disguise of informative cool and of informative coolness, cool, however. And speaking truth to power. I mean, come on. I mean, you know what? Actually, speaking truth to power, speaking against Saturday Night Live, speaking against Jon Stewart, because those people, speaking against Michael Moore, because those people, those are the ones influencing the culture. So, the speaking truth to power is not against. It's not speaking against some church lady in Iowa or something. I mean, or speaking against George Bush, that's not speaking truth to power. That's following the mob mentality. So that's what we do. Speaking truth to power is speaking against Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, all those clowns. And that's what I see what's at the heart of Chepotin. I mean, it's something you're going to take out of this interview is what I'm going to say, that what's at the heart of Chepotin is the fight against dumbing down of America. I mean, all these elitist people who don't care about the people, they only care about the propaganda, they have no problem turning this country into a third world one, because that a third world country for them will be a country where they are the ones where everybody listens to them. Where they're above us mere mortals, you know? So, yeah, that's what we do. That's what's at the heart of Chepotin, the fight against the dumping down of America.
Well, that's the reason they won't give us vouchers, so that we can take our tax dollars and put our child in a private school or a school that we know is a good school. They don't want the public schools to improve. They don't, and if the... If the country can en masse put their kids in private education, that makes the public schools compete for money and for students. And so they're going to have to change, and they don't want that. So that is why we do not have it doesn't have anything to do with putting public schools out of business. It has to do with public schools would have to do their job, and then people would want to put them in private schools necessarily.
Let me tell you something about the public school that you just said.
Hold on, gentlemen. I just want to. Yes, Kelly.
Oh. Wow. Well, I gave Cindy some more time, and wow. Okay, I learned a lot. So ask me how I'm doing.
How you doing?
Hello. How are you?
Well, I thought I was doing okay, but I'm rather frustrated when I went to the convenience store. I'm trying to get a cheeseburger, this kind that I'm. So I'm telling homeless people, here's a few bucks. Go get a cheeseburger over there. It's really great. I mean, I don't mind giving money to the homeless people, and pretty soon, I don't know why, it's a good reputation. But thinking all the cheeseburgers are gone from the convenience store. It's frustrating. So I'm a little frustrated today. But I want to just kind of throw my 2 cents in, if you will, as my grandpa used to say. 2 cents in worth about race and all this stuff and the games. And I'm going to leave you with a big point here. But, yeah, I've got, several black friends. Damian plays incredible poker. I don't know how he can think and read my cards. He's awesome. Carl Dexter, he's a guy that I want to hang out with him all day long and learn every secret he has, be a mouse in the corner. I got this buddy named Ray, who's Hispanic. He's phenomenally mature. And his daughter is like, I kind of want to chase after your daughter, but she looks young. And he's like, oh, no. And she was flirting with me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, And then the next thing she got married. But I'm like, okay. So, I mean, these are wonderful people. But, I do have a terrible, terrible racial affinity. Some would call me racist, but I do have this absolute infinity for a specific color. It's red. If you bleed red, hey, you're fine, man. You're great. If you bleed green or you if you bleed blue, you're from another planet and you're freaking out, okay? So red, hey, I'm cool with bleeding red.
I bleed green,
Oh, no. I was wondering.
I am wondering. Right? That. But that's a question I want to ask them later, because I noticed on, real quick, gentlemen, from Shepo team, Bernardo and Juan, I noticed on one of the cartoons, let me get this real quick before I forget, guys, is that I noticed on one of the cartoons somebody said, you will be absorbed. And that's a quote that's on a Star Trek episode. So are you guys Star Trek fans, real quick?
I am.
I don't watch Star Trek, but
I used to watch Star Trek, but the new generation. I
like the movie. That's it.
You would be absorbed. That's something that happened on that's a quote that's all the way back from a Star Trek episode in the 60s. But go ahead. I just wanted to know. Go ahead, guys. Sorry.
I wanted to throw this out. This is my big point about all this racial, you're a racist, blah, 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 blah. It's like, look, okay, I'm sorry. It ain't working anymore. And when all these different races intermix, we got Indians up here, we got Shasta, we got Karuk. Hey, how you doing? One of the best guys I ever had on a survey crew was a Karuk Indian. And, hey, how you doing? When these people realize that us white folk are, hey, how you doing, hey, what's up, da-da-da-da-da. When they see that we don't display any discrimination in their personal lives, this whole damn stupid racist crap is going to backfire on Obubu, and eventually it's going to be, you're an idiot for even bringing this up. It's going to backfire. That's where I'm going with this whole conversation.
Well, United States is actually the least racist country in the whole world. There's more racism where I come from. I can tell you, most people don't talk about this, but I can tell you in Ecuador, if you're black, you have no opportunity. I think that's disgusting, but a black American over here,
doesn't know that that happens in Latin American countries like in Ecuador, but it does. And it's just about racism. Of course, they don't go and beat them up just because of the color of their skin, but they don't give them opportunities. And when people say that America is racist still, like idiots like Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or the media, says that America is racist, they don't know better. They're just talking out of
political propaganda. They're promoting their own agenda when they say that.
They don't know. I know because I saw it. I saw it for 16 years in my life. I come here, man, I'm happy that there's equal opportunity no matter of the color of your skin. Of most people in other countries do not share that, though. It is a blessing that we live in America because we're the least racist country, but then you have idiots like Obama that tries to divide us into racism, that preaches racism.
No, and if you notice the comic strip, I mean, we have put Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton because like we really resent what they do, because they will actually be helping people. They will actually be helping blacks if that message, they would take it actually to Ecuador. If they would take that message to Ecuador, they would be helping people. But no, they do it here because even though this country is the least racist of all, I mean they do it here because they just follow the mentality. They just know that they can make something out of it.
They make money out of it.
It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really don't care. They really don't care. I mean, they really did care they will be in Ecuador.
And let me tell you something real quick. We do have an episode already written that those two idiots, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, are actually the bad guys. And you will see after we finish this episode that we're putting in our website and our Facebook page, you will see that one, and you're gonna like it.
Yeah.
Well, the most important thing you can ever say in your causes is America is the least racist country you've experienced. Coming from outside, that is
that's
profound.
True.
That is awesome.
And that's the truth. It's not something that we just want to sound beautiful. We want to sound good. Don't leave that to the politicians. As regular Americans, we just want to say the truth. I can tell you the truth because I saw it and I have a brain and eyes to tell you what I saw and what I see here. And America is the least racist country in the world. Go live 1 year or two in Ecuador or Mexico or Colombia and you will see what real racism is. And that's only those countries that are the good ones. I mean, it's not good that they do that, but they're not bad countries like in the Middle East, that not just because of the color of your skin, but also your religion, they will persecute you. So, come on, United States is free. Let's take advantage of what we have here, and let's spread that, and let the whole world see that we have equal opportunity, that we look everybody alike. And it doesn't matter the color of your skin. You are a human being, and you will be successful if you want to be successful.
And that's what I see. That's what I see as a message of progress.
Yeah. So let's spread that message around the world,
yeah,
so people can see what America is really about. But we gotta stop listening to idiots and in the media.
Yeah,
and we gotta defeat liberal entertainment.
Yeah.
And we gotta stop electing idiots that are racist, like Harry Reid or Obama.
Yeah, I mean, and you say also that it backfired on Obama. I mean, I saw that it backfired when he tried to make the Trayvon Martin case racial, and the Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case. I mean, whatever you think about it, about what happened. I mean, I think that any common sense person can say that Obama, he made it racial. And you said that it backfired, that it's going to backfire. Well, in that case, it backfired on him. And that's where it is.
That's it.
Yeah.
Real quick, two things. One is, I'm getting this from the chat, Holly wants to say thank you to the Sheppo team for their biker cartoon for 2M Bikers. She said it was awesome. And I did get just a little update here from a Twitter message I got here about the 18 senators that said no, I believe, on the debt ceiling. Of course, this was 3 hours ago that this was sent, but I got it through a retweet. And that was, and folks, listen for your representatives here in the Senate, is Coburn. I don't have the states here, but there's Coburn, Cornyne, Crapo, Cruz, Enzi, Grassley, Heller, Johnson, and I do have a state there, Wisconsin, Lee, Paul, Risch, Roberts, Rubio, Scott, Sessions, Shelby, Toomey, and Vitter. Those
Where
are the
was Rand Paul?
No. Paul, he
Did
was
Paul
on there.
Vote yes?
He said Paul.
No, these are 18 senators
okay.
who voted no. These are the senators who voted no.
Yeah.
So Rubio voted no? I mean, he's kind of a neocon, or maybe he's in transition. That's kind of a surprise.
Well, I think he just – I think he knows he's on the conservative
blacklist.
Yes list for some things. So he decided to go with this time.
Wow.
Yeah,
Chuck,
way up there.
Yeah, Chuck Grassley, he's from Iowa. He's been, like, there forever. And Iowa's more conservative, and I'm glad he voted the way he voted. But, of course, it passed. Now it goes to the House, and we play these games again. By the way, you know, the other day I was at Round Table Pizza. They had a nice lunch buffet, and we're talking about cartoons. So I was just kind of channel surfing, and I'm like, oh, Max and Ruby, that's a cartoon. And I flipped the channel. Oh, look at this. This is another cartoon. And then I turned over to C-SPAN. It's a U.S. Congress. So I'm like, oh, look, another cartoon.
Another cartoon. Yeah. Hey, can
fun.
I, I'm going to ask Kelly something. Kelly, do you know, I was listening to somebody on the radio yesterday, Kane, it was Herman Kane, and he said that it is absolutely illegal if we have a government shutdown and a debt comes up to be paid, it is absolutely illegal for Obama not to pay it. He is supposed to put everything else aside and pay that debt. And we have enough debt, we have enough tax money coming in monthly that should service our debt, which it would only take 10% of our taxes, and that we have plenty of money to service our debt, and that it is a big lie and a smokescreen and a scare tactic that they're using, saying that America will default on their bills, because it is absolutely not possible. Have you heard that?
Well, I've heard more than that. There is actually – see, Obama's plan, he's got a bigger plan. It is working exactly as he intended.
Mm-hmm.
Because the socialists want to, like, destroy America – how do you do that? Well, when our credit rating is lowered, that means there's a lot more money spent on interest. More money on interest, it can cause hyperinflation. We're going to be watching this the next year or two. And so, okay, fine. His plan, we're in trouble, can't pay the debt, even though we've got the full face and credit of the American people, all this stuff. He planned this. Now, there's something a little more spooky that a government contractor posted on Facebook today. Said, notice how quickly they put the government signs up. Park is closed. Yosemite is closed. The Veterans Memorial, even though the veterans said, F you, we're going to go ahead and storm it and tear these gates out. It doesn't happen overnight. Oh, I'm just going to go print up some signs at the local government print shop. No, it's contracts. It takes months to procure this. Highest bidder
and then they print them, and then they have to ship them, they have to deliver them, they have to put it in the hands of the few government agents that are working at these parks. Please post a sign. In other words, Obubu planned this shutdown, which will affect our credit rating if we don't pay the bills, which will cause more expense, and we will see it more inflation. His plan worked for his intentions.
Well, but I think if we had, well, to tell you the truth, if we had Newt Gingrich in the
White
speakership
House, yeah.
right now, this would not be happening.
Or the
this
White House, for that matter.
And he's the one that did this exact same thing in the 90s, and he showed them how it's done. And Boehner either doesn't know, or which I don't think is true, but anyway, he either doesn't know, he's ignorant, doesn't know what he's doing there, or he's doing it on purpose. He's working with Obama on purpose, which is a very scary thing, because that means we've got a troll in the very highest place. That guy's actually third in line for the presidency, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
And yet,
mm-hmm.
So what do we have? This, we have nothing to look forward to. He is just as bad as them, or just as stupid as them, one or the other, however you want to look at it. But basically, they will pay the debt. They can pay the debt easily. From what Herman Cain was explaining, they can pay that debt very easily. They're just not doing it on purpose.
Yeah, I really liked Herman Cain when he first came out. I really did. I'm like, this guy, he's got like a business sense about him. I want to, mm-hmm. you know, wow. And then they had this silly scandal thing, made up or not.
I think it was made up, but real quick, folks, I do see that we are within the last 14 minutes, believe it or not, of the live portion of the show. And so as we do on many occasions, and that is to go into extended version, and we will continue these conversations on the extended version. But I do want to ask Bernardo and Juan, if they do have any last comments that they would like to make in the live portion of the show. And I really appreciate you two gentlemen giving us all the time that you had tonight, that you have tonight, in answering all the questions and contributing to the content of tonight's show. We really, really appreciate it. And for those who just got the pulp portion of tonight's show, the archive will be available immediately following the show, where you can listen to it in its entirety, or you can, and of course, listen to it in its entirety and share it with other folks, friends, family, neighbors, fellow conservatives, so they can hear this message and share and hear about the SHPO team as well. So if you gentlemen have any words you'd like to part with us in the lifetime, of course you are welcome to join us until the end of the show, even if you go into extended version. But if you cannot, because of all the different jobs you gentlemen, you guys do, then we appreciate it either way, you guys coming into the show. So we'll get to you guys, and what would you like to end the live portion with?
Well, we are going to stay till the end of the show. We like your show, obviously.
Well, thank you very much.
No, thank you for inviting us. I can tell you I can tell the audience, like, please, you are welcome to come look at our website, www.chepotin.com, or our facebook.com/chepotin, and just see what we're all about. Go back, if you guys didn't listen to the full show, please go back, like Robert said, listen to the full interview. You guys will see what we're all about, and we are just asking for your support. See if you like us, if you like our message, if you like our entertainment, it is for you guys, it is for you.
If you're looking for something original.
If you're looking for something original, entertainment, pro-America, that will lift your spirit up, and it will entertain you in the process, come on, come give us a chance, and you won't be disappointed. You have something to say, Juan?
No, I just want to thank you, Robert, for the opportunity, and I mean to speak to your audience, and thank you to the people that ask us questions. I mean, I appreciate it. So I just want to say I appreciate the opportunity for being in the show. Thank you. Thanks.
Oh, and thank you very much. And if either one of you gentlemen want to come on just to talk about other topics that we have here on the show, you guys definitely are welcome to. I mean, it was obvious to me, and I'm sure the audience, whether listening to it live or on the archive, that you two really know what is going on in this country and, you know, what's going on throughout the world. You know, it's definitely, I know you two are two young gentlemen, but even at because I may be close to almost twice your guys' age, at least by my reckoning, and what you guys already are aware of, many folks, you know, in your age range just aren't as knowledgeable, as I would even say as wise as you guys have shown, and I'm really impressed. And I tell you what, folks, I mean, read the comic, share it. I mean, it's hilarious. It's very informative, but it's also funny at the same time. As comics, you know, some comics should be, and especially these types of comics. But it definitely make a statement as well, and that's why I think where the humor comes from, because you just read it and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so true, you know, and it's just the way you guys depict things. It's just great, and I am definitely looking forward to reading more of your material.
There's more to come. You'll see. But thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Awesome.
What's the Facebook name again of your page?
It's facebook.com/CHEPOTEAM. Chepotim.
Okay.
Yeah, so facebook.com/Chepotim, and you'll see it there.
Yeah, it's great. All right. So go check it out. Like the page. Check out ShippoTeam.com, which is the comic, you know, and keep up with them. So, I mean, it would be awesome. I mean, you know, imagine, you know, some time from now, and perhaps we'll be watching TV at some point, and we'll see ShippoTeam on. Now, I know there's folks out there who say they don't watch TV, but that would be a show that would be worth watching. So hopefully, you know, we'll see something like that in the future.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You.
But I do see, yes, there's about 8 minutes left of the live portion, so we will go into, I don't know if we'll use the whole time that we have allotted to us for the extended version. However, if you would like to listen in, because at midnight Eastern time, or at the second hour for those in different time zones, unfortunately, once the live portion is over, you will be cut off. Where we could even be in mid-sentence and you would miss the rest. But, of course, there would be the archives, but it's always nice to have folks who listen live and like to chime in as well. And for those of you who are new coming into the chat, listening from elsewhere, you can listen to the extended portion by going to 347-945-7428. And if you just like to listen in, that's great. But if you also like to chime in, you could do so by pushing 1 on your number dial, or you can send me a message on the Blog Talk Radio chat or here on Facebook to let me know that you'd like to come in. So before I did those endings there, I believe you two, Cindy and Kelly, were having a little discussion going there, but I think we left off with you, Cindy. So we'll go with you, of course, giving deference to the lady, too. And then we'll go to Kelly, and then we'll just move the floor around from there. So go ahead, Cindy.
All right, Kelly, I'm going to get you mad here. DeSantis sent out this. He said that a few hours ago the Senate hastily produced a bill that was written behind closed doors, as usual. The senators already approved it by a roll call, and they didn't even give any time to analyze it or read the bill's content. There's already been several versions of it that have been made public. They're not even showing the public the real thing. So some of these things he has read already. He hasn't gotten a chance to read them all or discuss and analyze them with his colleagues. But here's what he says so far. Section 123 of the law contains a $2.9 billion earmark for a dam project in Kentucky, even though the House has a ban on earmarks right now. Section 139B appears to rescind authority of the creation of Dwight Eisenhower Memorial, which is a good thing because even the families didn't like what they were going to be about to do to that with that memorial. Anyway, 146 provides a tax-free payment of $170,000 to the widow of a late Senator Lautenberg. Y'all remember good old Lautenberg from the Democrat from New Jersey, right?
Well.
Anyway, his net income is estimated at $56 million, and this woman has inherited that. What does she need with our $174,000? And he goes on to tell the story about that, but we got to get rid of that altogether. All those senators are filthy rich. Section 1001 provides a provision on income verification for subsidies on Obamacare exchanges. That means they're just going to get more of your private information on a public website, which has not been secured. This is already required by law, but the Obama administration has suspended some of the law's requirements and has essentially allowed some Americans to receive subsidies based on the honor system. Right. Although this was much discussed by the Beltway Press, it is a typical Washington smoke and mirrors provision. There is no enforcement mechanism and just a requirement that the Secretary of HHS submit a report, which is toothless. The invitation to fraud remains. Section 1002 creates a new mechanism for increasing the debt ceiling. Here is what we've been talking about tonight. The president is given authority to add new debt unless Congress disapproves by a two-thirds majority. This is a change from how it has typically worked and seems to confer more authority onto the president with the borrowing on the credit of the United States, a core power of Congress under Article 1, Section 8. They are continuing to degrade our Constitution. They are consolidating all the power into the presidency, which they know by now that they have sewn up. We cannot get a conservative in the presidency, guys.
Real quick, folks, I got an update here since we only got about 2 minutes or so left of live time. I just got this article that I got from Twitter. And this is from The Guardian, I believe about 17, I think it was 17 minutes ago, that the House voted. Says the U.S. House of Representatives by 285 votes to 144 with a majority of Democrats bolstered by a minority of Republicans. So I'm trying to confirm to make sure this article, how recent it is. But when I looked it up, it did say that it was only 17 minutes ago that this article came out. So folks, check that out. Of course, the article saying that it was from Tuesday, so it bears some more looking into, but that's what I'm hearing. Anybody else hear anything different? And then I've got another thing. This is from Fox News. I mean, there's in some ways I'm not a big fan of Fox News, but it says the bill cleared the House on 285 to 144, lifted over the finish line by a large chunk of Democrats. So it looks like they have once again raised the debt ceiling. It looks like they'll be having this discussion and debate again in mid-January. So what do you folks think about that, Juan and Bernardo?
That's, That's that section 102 that goes through February 2014. Go ahead, Juan.
Yep.
Rooster?
Oh. Yeah, well, you guys, if you guys want to chime in on that, go ahead, either Bernard or Juan or both.
I want to throw out, Cindy, that the president does have constitutional authority to raise the debt ceiling whenever he wants to, if, big if, we'll have to wait till overtime.
He has the authority to raise the debt ceiling or do whatever he wants. That's why we have a system of check and balances. But like I said, when we have a weak opposition party like what the Republican Party is right now, there's no way you're going to stop Obama and the Democrats do whatever they want. And that's what's happening right now.
And that's why 2014 is going to be very important. So, folks, we're going to have
keep in mind that the Rhino Republicans are around that time are going to start becoming more conservative, all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, you're right.
It's
yep,
like Rubio.
Just, folks got to just be clue in on that.
It's like Rubio getting all, you know, up in this issue, this tax issue, I mean, this shutdown issue and everything. And he was helping Cruz on the Senate floor, trying to filibuster and everything. He's all of a sudden trying to give us his, you know, conservative side.
Well, Marco Rubio is conservative all over, except when it comes to amnesty. That's where he sells out. And honestly, I mean, it's hard to know why did he do that? Because he wasn't pro-amnesty at the beginning. I mean, maybe he got brainwashed when he got to Washington. Who God knows what
happened?
Maybe
he got the wrong advice.
Yeah, maybe he got the wrong advice, man.
That's exactly what he got, because what he was told by the Republican elite, and, you know, he's new at this. He's not as savvy as some of the others. And what they convinced him of was that we have to appeal to a more moderate public, and that we have to get the Hispanics on our side. So they convinced him that if he, being the leader of this as a Republican, could get them their amnesty, that they would start voting for Republicans. But basically that's a farce, because it didn't work when Reagan did it. It's never going to work. They're always going to go with the guy who's going to send them the check. And it doesn't matter, you know, what his color, his letter is, whether he's an R or a D. It does not matter. What they care about is that check coming in, that welfare check, that food stamp check. And if they think that if they vote for a Republican, food stamps are going to stop and welfare is going to stop and all this other kind of assistance is going to stop, then they're not ever going to vote for a Republican.
That's for the ones that vote for a leaving. But there's also a low information voter. The low information voter can be also hardworking America, but he just believes the liberal propaganda that the Republicans are rich old white men that are racist and they hate Hispanics, they hate blacks, they hate everybody except themselves. And that's what's going on. I mean, it's misinformation. It's liberal media and, yet again, liberal entertainment that's brainwashing them. So that's the problem.
Right. Yes, certainly. And, you know, and that. Because I'm all tongue-tied trying to get it all out at once. No, but seriously, though, is you talk about the low-information voters, you know, who probably only get the ABC channels, you know, ABC, CBS, things of that nature, which, of course, we all know, you know, is just liberal news, or not even really news, liberal propaganda. And then they have the little snippets as Bernardo, you and Juan referred to as, you know, on television, you know, whether it's different TV programs, and they'll make a snipe here and they'll make a snipe there about Republicans. And what they do is, you know, they pretty much categorize them and think that you know, I'm sure everyone here has heard the phrase, life imitating art. Well, you know, I believe that, you know, Hollywood, who, of course, is in the liberal bag, you know, they put all these things out on just on your regular television. I mean, you know, your non-cable television, and where, you know, a lot of your low-information voters, that's what they're watching. And when they hear all these snippets here and there, you know, about Republicans and, you know, how they, you know, they view them, then that's what they think is really the truth when we know, it, you know, it's not.
Well, Robert, let me add to that. These low-information voters are not just watching that. I actually believe that they're watching more Jon Stewart and TV, and that's where they're getting their misinformation. Because keep in mind that especially the young voters, they want to follow the crowd that looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, so they're just mindless followers. And if MTV tells them that Republicans are bad and Jon Stewart tells them that conservatives are racist, that the Tea Party is evil, they're going to believe it, and they believe it. Then you ask them, okay, so tell me why is the Tea Party racist, for example. And they cannot say. They cannot tell you why. Then you tell them, hey, you know what, I'm actually a Tea Party Republican. Then they go, like, their heads explode.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, sir. You just got your message there on chat. I know you've got to run as well. So if you got any final comments for this evening, go ahead.
Oh, no final comments other than you guys just keep up the good work. I'll be looking forward to seeing some of your cartoons. If it's possible for you to write them more often, write them more often, because there's something happening every day that we need to counteract, and you're a good place to counteract all that stuff that's going on. And I'll do my best to spread your website and spread your Facebook page around all my people that I know, and I'll let Benny, my 11-year-old grandson is into politics way more than an 11-year-old should be. But anyway,
I got to do something about that.
Well, you know, I started him young. He's been hearing me talk politics for many years now.
Well, but in her eyes, because she knows how much, you know, time I spend on the show, you know, working on the show, in her eyes, she don't like politics, because to her, politics is what takes her time, you know, some of her time.
Yeah.
Away from daddy, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's probably why she has a distaste for politics, because it does take some of my time away from her. So,
well, I tell you what did it for Benny was I took him to two different Newt Gingrich rallies, and he just absolutely fell in love with Newt Gingrich. Newt shook his hand and talked to him, and he just thought that was awesome. He signed his book and everything, and he just he even called him up to the front at one time. Him and some other kids called him up to the front, and he said, "Now these guys are our future, and they each have $40,000 worth of debt on their head already." And he said, "I want to see that gone. I want these boys to be able to grow up and you know, as prosper in America." And you know, Newt cares about kids. He talks to kids. He treats them like they're worth something, and they're adults, and they have something to offer. And so Benny really fell in love with Newt, and then he loved politics after that. And of course, anything that has to do with Newt, his ears perk up. So anyway, that's all I had to say. I'll be showing your cartoon to Benny, and he'll love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cindy, for coming on. We'll see you again, and I know you and I will keep in touch off the show.
All right, Robert. All right. Just keep in touch with us anytime, okay? We're going to be signing out now.
All right, well, thank you very much, Juan. You're going to be signing out as well. Kelly, is there any last things you want to say to Juan and Bernardo before they have to go? And we really appreciate you guys staying on as long as you did. And joining us in part of the extended version. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thanks. I'm glad these guys have come on. They've really given us a fresh perspective. And, cartoons are very powerful. I mean, you know, Max and Ruby to a new cartoon to the U.S. Congress on C-SPAN. They're all cartoons, so I guess we got to fight fire with fire.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, gentlemen, and you're welcome to come back anytime.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
Appreciate
in contact with us.
Lovely. You're welcome. Take care, gentlemen, and we'll see you. We'll make sure that we tell everybody about your comic, and I'm looking forward to reading subsequent shows that you guys put out, or comics you put out.
Likewise. Looking forward to your show, Robert. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you much. Take care, guys.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And, folks, you can see their comic by going to www.chepoteam.com, and that's CHEPOTEAM.com. Check it out. You know, I've had the opportunity, to read some of their clips or strips, or, but I mean, it's great. I mean, as I said, they're funny. They're target. They're spot on and pithy. You know, they're really cool, and they're drawing well too. Cartoons and comic. So definitely check that out. And I tell you what, these guys, it may just it's a comic, but I tell you what, there's you could really get a lot of good things from what they what they put in there. It's obvious by listening to these two gentlemen tonight that they really know what's as I said this a couple times earlier, but that they really know what's going on with this country and what's going on throughout the world. So, Kelly, it looks like we've got some time, and it's just you and I that's signed off. We have a few other folks that are listening, but if there's anything that you wanted to touch on before we would end the extended version, maybe more about the debt ceiling, maybe some other news that you heard or some other comments you'd like to make about it, go ahead.
Well, same as usual, except for the end game has an end. I mean, debt ceiling. Oh my gosh, hyperinflation, we're done. I'm going a little bit radical here, but there's two pretty credible sources that concern me about the playbook to bring down a nation and bring it under a regime. That's basically where we're heading. Kind of going a little bit blah, blah, blah. Ron Paul had a really good point on Alex Jones. He says, after we go through this correction, that's when liberty lovers really need to get in place and do what they need to do. I'm like, wow. Ron Paul subtly said, yeah, we're going to go through a terrible, terrible correction. It's going to be ugly. And then we got to be ready to get in place and do the right thing and get back to the Constitution. I'm like, oh, my gosh. How can you more subtly say it than that, the way he did it? And Ron Paul, first of all, the way he communicates is, well, yeah, blah, 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 this, that, And then after the correction, the big correction, he didn't say it was correction, he basically said a crash. After this, then, we're going to really have to get our house in order and rebuild. I'm like, what? So you just basically said you really believe it's going to come down to a crash. Oh, my gosh. Robert, we got to get somebody on your show. His name's Mike Warrington, and he is working on representation. When you understand the importance of representation, we have a legislature. Well, of course we do. But the numbers, for example, California. Okay. California, we have 40 senators in the state house. That's one for every 930,000 people. Really? If I call my state house senator, do you think he's going to listen to a word I have to say? No. We have 80 representatives in the assembly. That's like the House of Representatives, but it's the assembly. Okay, so state assembly, state house, we got 80. Oh, good. One for 435,000 people. Or no, 465. 465,000 people. Really? Well, at least I've doubled my chances of getting hold of a state rep
going from Fed and the Senate go to the Assembly. But when he runs these numbers, for example, New Hampshire, 1 per 3,000, only 3,000 people. That means, oh, my gosh, I'm in a small town. We should have 1, maybe 2 reps here. I actually could meet with him and express to them my concerns if I was in New Hampshire, but I'm in California. But he kept kind of, look at this, and he showed me the graphs and the charts and the numbers and the tables. I'm like, oh, my gosh. This is, I think, in some ways bigger than the grand jury, which is my focus. But, you know, I'm like, we got to get this guy on your show, Robert.
Yeah, do we have any contact information there? Or?
Well, I talk to him about once a week.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I might have missed that part. I was responding to something. Okay. Well, yeah, definitely. Get him a contact. Give him my email address, and you know, tell him a little bit about what he wants to talk
can
about.
Can I give him your phone number? Can I give him your phone number?
That? Oh yeah, you can give him my phone number. Just don't give it to a hero live on the show. No.
Okay. It's 8675309.
Yes. 8675309. Correct.
309.
All right. Please don't think out. No, I'm just kidding.
I got to throw out this one more thing comment here quick. All right. So I come on. I'm trying to be a clown, a comedian. That's part of the family order, being the youngest. But Benjamin Franklin was the youngest. They wanted to, should he write the Declaration or should Thomas Jefferson? Well, Benjamin does it. He's going to sneak in a joke. Well, he was the youngest in his family. So, of course, I got that partly. The other part is why I'm always trying to joke around, because if I don't, I'm going to lose my sanity, okay? I'm going to lose my sanity if I can't make a joke about it. You know, I mean, it's like, if you're getting hauled off to the gulag, why don't you make a joke about it and make everybody laugh? At least, you know, you'll have fun on the way there. I don't know. So it's one way I deal with stress. Anyway, so I hope this isn't being recorded.
Oh, it is.
it's all
been recorded, Kelly.
Oh, well, it's a bummer. The Fifth Amendment, I have the right to bring me inside. I'm just not very good at it. Anyway, but there's a lot more stuff going on that's getting me spooked. And I don't know. I don't know if I want to share that or not, but in nationwide. So let's see if we can get Robert, or not Robert, you Robert.
No,
hey,
Robert.
Robert, you want to come on your own show? All right.
Sure, why not? It might be fun.
Yeah. Maybe you'll come back for another show. All right, so we got to get a show. I know it sounds dull and boring, but it is. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I've done this other thing, by the way, about petition. I put a quiz together. People are like, wow, this is amazing. So I'll bring that on the show later another day. But anyway, so I'll try to make that arrangement in the next week or two. See what we can do.
Yeah, next week we'll have a couple folks on. I know I do already have one person slotted to come onto the show, and that is Justin Vinnick Thomas. Will be coming back to Bard's Logic. He is actually running for a local school board, but those folks may know him because he was one of those Tea Party members that was targeted by the IRS, and we've had him on the show before. And I'm working on having a few other guests on, so we'll see how that develops. But we'll go from there, and of course we'll talk about some of the news of the day and see what Justin has going on. And so that'll be next week. And also I want to mention this to the folks who's listening to this now, I guess archives, is that if you go to your cell phone and if you put in the phone number 80100 and then in the body of the text you just put in Lion, and you will get some information how for only $10 you can donate a stuffed lion to a child that was recently diagnosed with cancer. And then we also have some other great charities that folks can check out by going to the Give page on www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And we also have a Get Involved page where you can find a number of links to some great shows and organizations and things of that nature. So check that out as well.
Okay.
So I'm looking for some new news here on the debt ceiling, but I guess since now it seems like kind of a done deal, I'm not really seeing any kind of well, I do see an update here, but about 12 minutes ago, that's out of Boehner. He's such a – this is at 12:24 p.m. Now, let's see. Let's see if there's any other – no, never mind. Just says, the end of the U.S. debt ceiling crisis, not with a bang, but with a whimper. You know, it's probably a whimper from Boehner. Gosh, you know, I can't stand that guy. He's so spineless.
Always a good spokesman, huh?
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, I just can't stand Boehner. I mean, they really need somebody. The Republicans really need somebody strong in there, like a Newt Gingrich.
Yeah. Prognosis is not looking good for the next couple of years.
Tell you what, the Republican Party has its problems, that's for certain, and I really think that a lot of the incumbents in the party need to be ousted and then definitely put with some conservatives with some spine in there. There are some, such as Cruz, such as Rand Paul, such as Newt Gingrich in there, you know, among some others.
What's really weird is that the Republican Party, Republic is a beautiful word. That's what our country is. You start with a charter, that makes a republic. Okay, Republican, look in the dictionary right next to the dictionary, is the word repugnant. Anyway, I need to look at Democrat because I'm afraid right next to it I would see the word demon. But repugnant versus demon, well, I'll pick repugnant. Still libertarian. I'm tired of these. It's a joke. Libertarians' numbers are growing like leaps and bounds these days because of the boondoggle. So I'll talk with Mr. Warnken, and we'll get him. We've got to get a space. I don't know, 2, 3, 6 weeks away, whatever it takes. But this will be like everyone will be like, this is kind of like a dull topic. That's like, oh my gosh, this is a serious solution. And of course, you've got some founding fathers.
And we need solutions, that's for certain.
Yeah. So, what else? Let's see. Sheriff Arpaio. I found it today from a reliable source. I have to confirm it, so I haven't vetted this yet, but I would believe it's true. Sheriff Arpaio, he's driving on the birth certificate, his cold case posse going after the, is this true or not? Do we have enough evidence to indict? So they went to a federal grand jury. And of course, the United States attorney, also known as the USA's, no, I'm not going to submit this. Well, 18 U.S.C. 3232 requires you to inform the grand jury of this. I'm not going to do that. They went to court on a writ of mandamus. That's what I'm working on. And the judge in Arizona said, no, sorry, I'm not going to do this. Are you out of your freaking mind? Oh, that's right. Somebody probably bribed, blackmailed, threatened the judge, as has happened in these multiple birth certificate cases. So same playbook, different judge. Wait a minute. How did he find out that he should submit to a grand jury? Oh, that's right. I sent him an email. I think it was August of 2012. Get this to a grand jury. They can issue the subpoena. Even if you're in Arizona, it's effective in Hawaii. Oh, my God. They have fought this birth certificate tooth and nail everywhere they can. So, of course, they went to Darrow. So, of course, these people who saw this judgment went to the House site Reform Committee, the chair, Darrow Issa. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, let's see if Darrow Issa has a backbone. But I got to confirm this because it's going to be, oh, my gosh, if you're blocking adamantly everywhere possible petitions to grand juries in this manner, it's about time to go to our guns, folks. Is that serious? But I have to vet this, I have to research this, and I really don't want to, because if I find out it's true, like 9/11, you know, the grand jury was, oh, the Department of Justice is taking over, so you're not needed anymore. Well, thank you, we get to go home. Ooh, why did they go to the grand jury of White Plains, New York, when 9/11 was, wait a minute, didn't we get an indictment on World Trade Center bombing number one? Osama bin Laden got an indictment on a bunch of others, several of them they actually caught. Why didn't we do this with 9/11? So I'm dreading finding out if this is actually true, that Sheriff Pio went to a grand jury and the judge denied the right of petition, violated the First Amendment. If this happens, I'm not going to sleep till 3 or 4 in the morning, and that's why I don't want to research it, because I won't get much sleep that next night.
Well, we know you need your rest. I got something here that said, just from Twitter, something sent to me. It said, GOP vote to open government, I guess, I'm going to go as Paul Cook, and listen, folks, for, I guess, your representative, if you hear the name. These are the people that need to get voted out, really. I mean, they need to get primaried out or, you know, I mean, yeah, that, I mean, how much plainer could you say it? But Paul Cook, Tom Cotton, Kevin Cramer, Rick Crawford, Ander Crenshaw, Steve Daines, Charlie Dent. I think I've seen some more names here. Mario Diaz-Balart, Mike Fitzpatrick, Jeff Fortenberry, Rodney Freeland-Houston, Jim Gerlach, Corey Gardner, and let's see if I can pull up some more here from Twitter. Let's see. I'm sure there's some more that would be forthcoming. Let's see if we've got some more here. It says that the federal employees will be returning to work on Thursday.
Oh, by the way, did you know that they got paid during the furlough?
Oh, I'm sure.
So
I'm sure.
I would like a job where, it's just another shutdown. I get paid for 2 weeks when I sat around on my ass and watched cartoons.
Yeah, probably not good
so,
cartoons either.
Yeah, so, I suffered a little bit of insecurity. How am I going to pay my this and that? Oh, wait a minute. Did you have money in savings? Yeah, because I work for the government. I get paid really well. Oh, okay. Did, what did you do? And it was like 2 or 3 weeks. What did you do? Oh, I was freaking out. And I was thinking about looking for a job. And then I found out. A friend told me, yeah, we get paid when we get back to work, and they won't shut down the government. I'm like, woohoo! So I took my extra money and savings, and I went on a vacation for 2 weeks, and I'm like, woohoo, and I get paid vacation.
Oh, yeah, they'll get the money. And here's more of that list I was reading earlier. So Sierra Buettler, Daryl Issa, Lynn Jenkins, David Joyce, Mike Kelly, Peter King, Adam Kinzinger, Joe Klein.
Now, who are these people again?
These are members of the GOP who voted to, open the government. I guess they voted with the Democrats.
Oh, well, that's okay. I mean, it's just human error. It's just, you know, just your country's sake. But, you know, hey, that's okay. You know, we can always fix it later. And of course, Bonner's saying, well, you know, what we really should do then is, well, let's get enough people elected so we can overturn Obamacare. Yeah. Dummies.
I'm going to tell you what. Now, we've got some other shows that, you know, talk about, you know, how to, you know, get rid of Obamacare and things of that nature. So folks can listen to the archives on those.
Yeah, you know, the Republicans and Democrats are masters of placating certain concerns. And playing these games, and, oh, it'll be all right. And, yeah, we're fucking you in the ass. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I swear?
Oops. Well, you know, ass isn't too bad, especially on Bard's Logic After Dark, so.
Yeah, I just, you know. Well, we're just going to insert it, but it won't hurt too bad. And we're going to really communicate real flowery and sugary while before we do it and while we're doing it. You know, but we're still going to beep you in the ass.
Well, okay, I might be going a little bit too far there, Kelly.
I mean, that's what they're masters of. They stink and placate everything they want to do. They know it's evil. They know we won't accept it. But they're like, well, you know, we tried. We did our best. And
right.
Just kind of turn around and bend over. I mean, that's what they're doing to us.
Indeed. Well, it's been a long day there, Kelly. So I think I'm going. Well, I've got some more here. Wait a minute. Let me read this, and I'm going to get ready to shut the show down for this evening. But here's some more GOP who voted to open government. It says Leonard Lance, Tom Latham, Frank Lo Biondo, Kevin McCarthy, Patrick McHenry, Buck McKeon. Got David McKinley. Let's see if I got some more here.
Benedict Arnold?
Yeah, no doubt. So, okay, Kelly, if you got some last comments you'd like to make before I go ahead and close out the show for this evening. And, of course, folks, share the link with people. Also, so they can also read the Shippo Team comic, which you've already heard some of the two of the three creators of the comic, and you know, hear some of their material, and go check that out on Facebook, or you could go see their works at www.shippoteam.com. So if you do that, and also just give your friends, family, and whoever a link to this show can listen to the content as well, because it's definitely important to get this kind of information out to people. So go ahead, Kelly, and
we'll
go from there.
Well, I'm sorry, Robert. You're telling people that people should share with their family. I'm like, what I just said with Connor's wanting to beep us in the beep.
Oh, well, yeah, that's
true.
Okay.
The
mature family members.
A mature family.
They're not for children.
Okay.
At least, well, you know, you booped. And here's the thing. It's one of the things that Shippo Team, you know, Bernardo and Juan pointed out tonight, is I'm sure that the kids who heard you say boop on Bard's Logic Political Talk After Dark probably have heard worse on your primetime television show.
Yeah, probably. But anyway, I'll throw this out to you. I'm working on I've been approached by a documentary filmmaker. I'm about to write a petition in the grand jury looking for $5,000 to $10,000. We need to do this, and we need to do it immediately. It will have phenomenal changes. At least if somebody's interested, we can take them through an 8-question quiz, and they'll be like, what? Yeah, even attorneys don't know this. And the Supreme Court has spoken and ruled in our favor. So anyway, it just so happens if somebody wants to donate, that's a whole other story. But anyway,
do you have a website or something people can donate to? Or,
well, call you, then call me. The money isn't for me. I mean, I just got to sit and talk and blah blah blah. But the editors, it's a lot of money to polish this up. So it's just
certainly
it's an eye opener, and you're on the edge of your seat when you're like, oh wow. And it's more than that. It's just empowerment. And they realize, oh, my gosh, wow. All right, Robert, well, I'm going to sign off. I think it's about that time anyway. I got work to do here on some black box, magic mad science and stuff. So.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much, Kelly, for coming to the show. It was great to hear from you again. I was glad that you were able to make it tonight. And I wanted to thank you, the audience, for listening to the show this evening, whether you listened live or whether you listened to the archive. And on a serious note, we joke around, but I mean, you know, if you just you could share the link, you could also go to Facebook if you are a Facebook user and like the Bard's Logic Political Talk page. Just go to the search engine, just type in Bard's Logic Political Talk, and there's also a group also called Bard's Logic Political Talk as well. You can get links from subsequent shows, links to some of the things that we've talked about. You can make comments, maybe send questions, give ideas for things you would like to see on the show, because that's actually what happened tonight, Kelly, is that Anne, she brought to my attention Shepo Team, and she said she would really she read some of their stuff and really would like to have had them on the show. And so I, you know, got their contact information, and I got a hold of them and got them onto the show for us. So if there's someone in particular, someone I'd like to try to get on, just you can also send me a message through Facebook. But if you're not a Facebook user, you can send me a message via the Bard's Logic Political Talk contact page. And that's just by going to www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com and go to the contact page and just fill out the boxes there and send me a message on who you'd like to see here. Of course, if we all know that some guests would be more difficult to get on than others, but if you go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk group on Facebook, then you could see a list of the majority. There might be a couple on there that didn't get on yet, but you'll see a list of guests that I have had on the show in the past. So I will say thank you again. Take care, everyone. Have a good night, and I will see you on the next show. And I will end tonight as I do every night, and that is with the song by Aubrey Ashburn. And you can hear more of her music at www.aubreyashburn.com. And also, I'm just kind of putting out there for those listening, if you know anyone who, if you're with a business or a company that enjoys our show and would like to be a sponsor of Bard's Logic Political Talk, just go to the website and to the contact page. Let me know, and we can discuss it. So take care, everyone. Good night, and enjoy this song by Aubrey Ashburn. And if I didn't already say it, you can hear more of her music by going to www.aubreyashburn.com. See you again, and take care. Good night.